Ale.
Sí, señor.
Bienvenidos and welcome to a Sunday night edition of the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin and the primos are in the house.
What's up?
Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes.
Hanging on for dear life, trying to make the playoffs. Trying.
See, heck, you lit your victory cigar too early.
Well, that wasn't necessarily a victory cigar. That was just a cigar. I have another cigar that's set to be a victory cigar. That one was just a regular cigar.
Oh, man. Well, gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a servirlos. This is kind of really busy time with everybody. We're almost, re-entering the Earth's atmosphere between sleep schedules and work schedules. But we're here. Estamos aquí. And make sure you're checking out our familiaffb.com website, as well as our social media channels at familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our familiaffb Facebook page. Well, kind of a crazy day, but we're going to start off with a battle royale, or as they would have said in Pulp Fiction, battle royale with cheese.
That's right.
Hector versus Ricky.
Dun, dun, dun.
¿Cómo estamos, boys? ¿Cómo estamos? How are we looking?
Man, I'm leading right now, right, Rick? I'm ahead of you right now.
You're ahead by like 9 points, and you have Deontay, but I still have Ravens defense, Terry McLaurin, and I don't know. It doesn't even matter who else.
And Debo Samuel.
So it doesn't look good for you.
It's looking bad.
But there's still a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not looking good. Not looking good, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see. I had Derek Carr today. So those of you who had Derek Carr, congratulations on a 4 TD performance. We'll get into that in a minute. But that was pretty amazing by that guy.
Yeah. I don't know where that came from either. The very final play. I was watching the game and we thought the Jets had won. We already told this other guy, Jets won. But they friggin' 3-and-out, punt the ball, and it's like you could feel it. You're like, it's the Jets. The Raiders are going to get stupid lucky, even though Carr's been overthrowing all day, underthrowing. Boom, he gets one right on the spot.
Like, perfect, right on the money.
It was just heartbreaking. It was like, man, I was already ready for the loss by the Raiders, but I guess it happens.
It was crazy. My phone, my TV is on a little bit of a delay. So my phone told me that Ruggs got the TV before I could see it on the TV. I was like, wait a second, that game's supposed to be over.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, what? Awesome. I was just like, and it was just so, he actually kind of underthrew it, but Ruggs was so far ahead of the guy that he even slowed down and was still like, 3-4 yards out of reach from him. So
he went from goat to great, right? He was the goat for a minute when he fumbled and then the Jets scored. So he was the goat for a second, the goat in a bad way. And then people forgot that back in the days that goat, if you were the goat, that means you screwed up. So he was the goat, and then he went to great after that. So that was
cool. Yeah. When you had the goat, te dieron los cuernos. So
that's right.
And then the Browns, it looked like they were going to destroy the Titans, and then the Titans made it interesting there at the end. But we'll talk about Mr. Baker Mayfield's day. But God, man, they slowed down Derrick Henry, and that's the key, I guess.
Yeah, that's the key. As soon as you slow down Derrick Henry, Tannehill's not that great. He can't just catch him up right away. He's too error prone. But I mean, I still don't think Baker's got it. To be able to go to a big lead and not shut the door tells you that the Browns aren't real. They got a great record, but I just don't see them beating more playoff teams. I think this was very lucky of their defense to stop Derrick Henry and then just let Tannehill lose the game for everybody else.
And it helps that the Titans are not a good defense on either of the levels, running or passing. So and then it just especially not passing. But I had a feeling that this was going to be one of those over games because both pass defenses were bad and the weather was going to be decent out there. So it was good, except for something we'll talk about a little bit later with AJ Brown. But and talking about the good, bad, and the ugly, Carson Wentz got benched today, boys.
That was surprising. I saw that Jalen Hurts was in. I was like, what? Did he get injured? But nope, just benched. And damn. I mean, they didn't look that much better. What did you think?
You know, he moved them a little bit. He did move them, he got a touchdown on a 4th-and-18 play. And then all of a sudden, Jalen Reagor got a touchdown on a punt return. So it made the game interesting, which I didn't mind, because that meant he had to throw a little, that Rodgers had to throw a little bit more. And he seemed to be targeting Davante Adams and Robert Tonyan today. And I had both of them on different teams. So, but you know what? They looked better than they did with Wentz. I mean, Wentz just, that guy 3 years ago, that guy was the best, as good as anybody in football.
Yeah.
I just don't know what happened to this guy.
Is it footsteps? You know, anytime you have, we talked about that before, anytime you have like a, you know, horrible injury, you know, an almost career ending type of injury, is that just, it changes a person, you know, we don't know to what extent it changed Carson Wentz. We saw it with Derek Carr. You know, Derek Carr, same thing. He was having an MVP season, blew his knee out. He never really got back to that level ever again. You know, even now he's not there. So it's like, and the knee's fixed, you know, his leg's fixed, you know, all that stuff. So even though, you know, these guys have these injuries, and then they go to rehab, and then they're all better physically, there has to be a mental toll. You know, the props to our guy over here in Washington. What's his name? Busted up leg.
Oh, Alex
Washington Smith. Quarterback. Alex Smith, exactly. Even more so for Alex Smith, because it seems that this is not just a coincidence, that guys get these terrible injuries and then just mentally they just can't come back to where they were, because I don't know if they see ghosts or they hear footsteps and they just can't get back there. And it just seems that that's what's happening to Wentz, that his confidence seems like it's just shot. He just hasn't been the same guy no matter what.
Well, he had that great season when they won the Super Bowl, and he just hasn't been the same since coming back from that injury. And
right.
And it's surprising, because it doesn't look like it's like some ailment that's holding him back. Maybe it is just footsteps now he's hearing all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think it's footsteps, and I think part of it is, when they won that Super Bowl, they were just, their offensive line was just a brick wall, and they were just not letting anybody in. And I think right now it's been more leaky. They've had some serious injuries that have knocked out some of their best players. And I think that is what's made him regress a little bit. I think that, plus trying to play some hero ball where, he had a bunch of guys hurt, a bunch of his skill players hurt. So I think it's just a bad combination of things. I'd like to think he's not washed, because he's still young.
I know, man. And, he's way young.
Very young.
And he's making a lot of money for him right now. So,
right.
It's not like they could trade him or drop him or waive him. It's, without it being a hot monster cap hit. So you want to see it work out. I want to see them all work out. But
definitely. Definitely. Guys, talented, super talented guys. Just, got to work on that. So something's there. Something is off. We don't, maybe he's hurt. You know, maybe he's injured right now. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? That always happens. You know, it's like a big question mark. Then the season's over. Like, oh yeah, I had like 4 broken ribs. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we have no idea. So let's wait and see when the season's over, and maybe something may come to light that is bothering him that we just don't know about.
Well, Russ got cooked today by the Giants. So, they're in first place right now. And, I mean, Los Pinche Giants, I mean, they are a scrappy defense.
They haven't allowed more than 25 points since they played the Cowboys in, like, week 7 or 6.
Wow.
So, it makes me wonder, what are they going to do to Kyler Murray next week? So, yeah. For them to be able to shut down, Russ – to be able to hold the Bengals, even though they had an injury, the Eagles, Washington, and even the Bucks to only 25 points.
You're going to have to start Matt Stafford, bro.
I think I will. Hey, that's if I don't get a first round bye.
Right, right.
I mean, seriously, that's a defense that you really got to think about.
Now you got to think about them, yeah. They've obviously shown if they can prevent Russ from cooking – I mean, a lot more teams have been able to do that recently, so I don't know if that's more of a telling tale for the Seahawks or showing us that the Giants are actually developing a defense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they definitely – when I started to really think about it was when – back in early in the season when they played the Rams, right, you know, right after the Rams just came off of that hot game against the Bills. And then they held the Rams to 17 points, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
17 seems to be their number.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I'm looking at it right now. Week 5 against Dallas, they got 31, and then they've been either in the teens, the low 20s. One game was 25. So.
And that was Tampa Bay, so.
Yeah. So, it's I mean, they're all of a sudden they're sneaky good. If they could ever figure out if Daniel Jones is a real quarterback, mm-hmm. and get a healthy Saquon Barkley, that could be a team. I mean, you know, it's funny how we're already, you know, it's week 13 and definitely we're going to be staring down the fantasy playoffs, but there's also that eye toward 2021 with certain players that, you know, aren't on fantasy rosters right now, but hey, you know what, maybe a lo mejor, maybe next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, closing it out with our highlights, Bill Belichick is 20-5 against rookie and quarterbacks. And today
he knows how to confuse them. Oh, and that's what Herbert did. Like, he just knew how what mistakes rookie quarterbacks usually make. And he just forced the issue. You have Herbert doing the, you know, going to the right and throwing to the left, throwing a pick. That's like one of the biggest no-nos, you know, of. And you would think Herbert knows that, but just Bill Belichick was able to fool him into it. So congrats to Belichick. I hate you, but let's get on that.
heard that coming.
I don't know. And the other part is Belichick has now won a game in 50 stadiums. So, which is crazy because there's only 32 active in the NFL.
Like, so, 50 NFL stadiums?
50
yeah.
NFL
yeah, stadiums. Some are not there anymore, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
18 that are no longer in use. So how crazy is that?
The record?
Yeah. Far and away.
It's got to be.
Far and away. Just amazing. Amazing.
Dude's been there forever, though. So.
Oh, yeah. He's, yeah. I mean, part of the longevity. You know, somebody once said, what's, you know, this guy was, got asked a question, what was the secret for living to be 60, you know, be married 65 years? He said, well, the first rule is don't die. So,
right, exactly. Bingo.
Well, hey, let's take a quick look at the betting locks. Nico went 2-3, so he you and Hector, you and Nico won with Indy.
Yep.
He won with New Orleans, lost the over on that game.
By how many points?
The over was 46. So,
but I mean, what did
what they actually get?
It was 21-16. So they got to 37.
Oh, wow.
Is that what the final score was? Yeah, 21-16.
And I would have bet the low because it's just they're not moving the ball as graciously as when they had Breeze. So, but Atlanta again looking a little bit better than they did the first half of the season.
Yeah, a little bit better on defense. Still not, you know, not. Clicking all together on the with the offense, so you know, say Tennessee was a six and a half point favorite. They lost, and he picked the Clippers on a pick'em game. So we're just going to pass on right that one right there. Hector, on your side, Miami and 11.5.
Did he pick the Titans?
Yeah, he picked the Titans.
They only lost by 6.
No, but they were favorite.
They're supposed to win.
They had to win by seven.
Yeah.
Oh, then he got slaughtered.
Yeah, he got smoked.
They're supposed
to. Titans. One of those. What are we gonna see in playoffs? Are the Titans gonna be bad or are the Browns gonna be good? Because both of those teams are gonna make the playoffs most likely.
They're both gonna make it, and I think the Titans, unless they fix things up on the defensive side, they're gonna be one and out. I think that's really where they're going to.
And that's what people thought they would do last year.
Yeah.
But they had a little run. So who knows what's going to happen?
I mean, when you got Derrick Henry running like crazy and eating up the clock, I mean, that makes a big difference right there. But if you're not stopping the teams on the other side,
they're a dangerous team when they're in front.
Yeah. Very dangerous. Yes. Yes. Real quick, back to Hector. Hector, Miami won favorite 11.5. They won by 12. Boom. Won with the hook.
That's right. That's right. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, baby.
You had Green Bay -9. They won by 14. So maybe
end. That one too. Hey, don't be scared. Don't be scared.
And KC -14, where if those two touchdowns from Tyreek Hill got
exactly
actually
holding
allowed.
Penalty, like what is that, like a holding penalty? Come on,
holding penalty. And then did you guys see that crazy one where he thought he dropped the ball but he actually caught it and never yeah.
But that was didn't. Yeah,
he fell to the ground and he actually trapped the ball against his chest, so that was a legal catch, but they never reviewed it. So that's got to be one of the crazy. I mean, when Al Michaels, who's been doing sports for like almost 50 years, says that I've never seen that before, that's when you know
it's a big deal. Yeah, exactly.
Was it kind of like the Antonio Freeman catch? Just he didn't know he caught it.
He didn't know he caught it. He got to the sideline, saw the highlight up on the scoreboard, and he was just like, the look on his face was like, damn, I caught that. Actually, Andy Reid went up to him, and you could see that he was saying, next time if you caught it, let me know.
And it's funny. It's like most of the time receivers, even when they drop it, they think they caught it.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
He was so good that he didn't know. So,
That's how good he is, man.
He was so humble that he didn't
so
get it.
Humble. So on my system, I went 1-1 this week. I believe it's 7-4 on the season. So Atlanta,
you got so close to getting two.
I got right? so close. Yeah, Atlanta +3. They lost by 5, and the Jets covered, losing only by 3 on that Milagro. So,
right.
Oh man. Well, speaking of me. The things that hurt. We had not too many things today, but some that are a little painful. I mean, AJ Brown, I was worried. He
was
down.
Worried because it was non-contact.
Right.
So to see him come back though fixes a lot.
He came back. He one of the injury experts, Dr. David Chow, mentioned that when he saw it, he put on Twitter, he's like, "Oh, he's going to come back. Don't worry. That's not it. That doesn't look serious." And but yeah, you didn't know. You didn't know if it was an Achilles, everything. So yeah, thankfully he came back. So a lot of people's hearts, got out of their stomachs. Frank Gore. Went into the concussion protocol, did not come back to the game. So
they learned it was just dementia, so he was fine.
But age related. But I'm bum.
Well, Brandon Cooks, they checked him for a concussion, and considering the fact that he's had so many in his career, that's definitely
a bad
worried,
thing.
Worried
that's some. A bad thing. Yeah, man.
So, but he came back to the game also. So
good.
That was a good thing.
I wanted to get Kuti in our family league, but I just went with Debo.
I think he made the right call.
I mean, Kuti just—I knew he was going to be good. I picked him up in every other league, so it's like I wish I would have got him. But you're right, Debo's still nice to have.
And he's got two really tough matchups in the first 2 weeks of the playoffs before he gets Cincinnati in Week 16. So, I don't know if you would have used them anyway, but yeah, he'd be nice to get.
I'm just happy you took Akers. No one else could.
And I don't get, well, maybe he'll get me the first pick in the draft next year.
Maybe.
Last one, Brandon Allen suffered a chest injury late in the game where he was ruled out. So who knows if Cincinnati is going to be going back to Ryan Finley for its quarterback. So, thankfully, let's hope. Let's light a veladora. No more serious injuries.
Right.
Because we do still have 3 games left the rest of the way. So,
Now, I'm not sure. Did you ever get to Georgie the 2 positives for Carolina?
Go for it.
For
go
COVID?
For it. I didn't see
well, they
one.
Got 2 positives. So I just feel like since we're on III, we got to keep an eye on that. Make sure tomorrow morning that there's no more positives, because you got 2. Who knows if they infected more?
Who was it?
They I don't think they released who it was.
Oh, okay, 2 guys.
But it's definitely gonna be the new Ravens situation from last week.
Oh God, I hope not.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see their game canceled, and then me being screwed and not having CMC.
No CMC. Wow.
Well, right, we'll see. We'll see. Let's hope tomorrow there's a bunch of negatives so that we don't gotta be on the COVID watch for them.
Jeez, that would just be. Oh, eso duele.
Yikes.
Eso duele. Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not.
Well, enough of the bad stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff.
Los chingones.
Chingones. Yeah.
Ay, mijo. And to show you that the NFL, I've been preaching a lot lately on our Familia FFB blog. You know, you don't plan for the week. You don't grind too much on the week behind. You plan for the week ahead. And that was Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. Negative points last week. Negative, I think it was negative 4 points last week.
And he goes something like that.
381 and four total TDs today. Yeah, what a stud performance.
Four TDs today. including a Hail Mary dime game winner to Ruggs. Just like,
guys, against the Jets.
Yeah.
Well, that was the reason why you thought you had to play him, because it was the Jets and the Jets.
That's the only reason that Heck played him.
That's right.
A stupid good call, Heck, because that was thing all day. I was all like, damn, this guy. Like, who puts in Derek Carr randomly?
Right.
And you know what? I almost I had him in my starting lineup on my 2QB league. But then I saw my normal starter is Lamar Jackson. So I just was thinking, oh, okay. And then I got the word that he's expected to start. And I said, okay, I'm playing Lamar Jackson.
Derek Carr, man.
Of course does that.
Of course.
And then Baker Mayfield, 334 and four touchdowns. Where's that?
Four TDs in the first half. Forget about the four touchdowns in the game. Four touchdowns in the first half of the game.
And I love that people were writing Primo Manny because he sat him down on the
He's got Lamar with COVID waiting to play.
Yep. So
that helps me because I need to score 13 points less than him or more in order to get the first round by. So I'm hoping I'm right behind him, if not above him in points.
Oh, man.
We shall see.
Well, Ryan Tannehill helped me in a couple places, helped me in DFS and helped me in my Dodger league.
And technically it was garbage time because they were down the whole time. He sucked the whole time. It was just finally he started getting it going. Maybe AJ Brown not being in kind of made him suffer because he didn't get those long plays to get them back in the game to where they could use Derrick Henry to basically set the tone.
Pound to pound.
But he still got the points. Good for him. It's just, to me, it's a mirage because he's not always going to do this. This is just a crappy game that he got the garbage time. Otherwise, he's going to get – his best games are when he gets 189 yards, one touchdown, and Derrick Henry does everything because they win those games.
This one, I mean, it's pretty clear. He dominates against bad defenses, and he struggles against the really good ones. And, you know, it's pretty clear. I've seen it having owned him on this team. So, you know, I kind of ride the hot hand between him and Big Ben. So, cause I'm flip flopping between those two guys, but you know, this was
that's
the week
tough
to
one
play
to
him.
Decide every week who you're going to play.
It is. There been, and we've made the wrong call a couple of times. luckily it hasn't cost us too much. Maybe
cause I don't think Big Ben's going to get that many points this week.
This way, yeah, that was the thing. We were kind of like, you know, it's a short week for him. The Washington football team has a good pass rush. So and Tannehill had a great matchup against the Cleveland defense. So it was just natural. You know, Matthew Stafford also had
amazing.
Yeah, 402 and three touchdowns
with a new coach and no Galladay. Who knows what they're going to do next week?
We talked about that, didn't we? Talk about that, George, in our previous. Episode where I said they have a brand new coach. Is it just me, or whenever there's a brand new head coach, QBs just go off? Well, I don't know what it is.
I think I know what it is. I think when you have a coach who's fired, who's the next leader on the team? It's the QB. So, and even the interim head coach kind of knows that it's kind of coming to a place he doesn't know. So the QB is kind of just running the show. And this is good news for me because next week I don't want to play Kyler Murray against the Giants because the Giants shut down Russ. Mm-hmm. So I think finally Stafford's where he was supposed to be. All of us said last year he was on pace for 5,000 yards. This is why.
Oh, yeah.
Great. It's great that he's happy that he's doing it now that I've had him all season doing crap.
And then you gave me him at the end.
and I missed the playoffs by 0.2 points. Thank you, Matt Stafford.
oh, that fumble. That fumble. Well, gonna kind of throw out a couple guys a little bit out of order. One, well, Aaron Rodgers is in order the way we have him here. 295, three touchdowns. And Patrick Mahomes, 317, one touchdown on Sunday Night Football. Wow. Right now
he does it easily, so easily.
Both of them look effortless. I mean, these are the two front runners for the MVP right now. Do you guys have an idea who you'd vote for?
It's got to be Mahomes because he's leading. I don't know if he's leading in points, but the dude's amazing. He's winning games and he's getting awesome numbers and he's making it look easy.
Well, then again, you have to look at Aaron Rodgers, and if you compare who has better weapons,
I don't think Mahomes, that should determine MVP.
Well, maybe it should.
I think Green Bay would still be. I think
you're doing more.
I think
less.
Kansas City would be more hurt without their quarterback than Green Bay without theirs.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has.
I can't picture.
Aaron Rodgers has a running game.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't picture either team being anything more than bad.
I just feel like at least they have Aaron Jones that they could lean on if anything happened to Rodgers. I don't think you can lean on CEH, no matter how highly Hector spoke of him beginning of the season.
Yeah. I mean, both are just so good. So good. So good. Well, I'm going to finish out the quarterbacks before we get into the running backs. Jared Goff, 351 and a touchdown and a rushing touchdown, back to his normal self. And Deshaun Watson went for 341, and he had a running touchdown against, the Colts got back.
An awesome touchdown.
Yeah. Beautiful run. Taysom Hill, there's talk that Drew Brees is going to be ready next week.
Yes.
So
thank you for Kamara.
You got the touchdown, baby. You got the touchdown. Well, Kirk Cousins, 305 and three touchdowns. One of them was to Justin Jefferson, which helped me on the DFS side. So
he's just looking hot. Thielen or not, he's going to get the ball. So it's a great pickup if you got him. What a wide receiver class this year for the rookies.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have so much fun talking about some of the, it's funny, you
for
know,
years
we
to come. For
we
years
were so excited. We were so excited about, a few of the rookie running backs, and really, no one's been a consistent performer, but we've got so many wide receivers that we really thought were going to be taking, most of them we thought were going to be taking just like a year or two to get ready. But
a lot of them got touchdowns today. You have Ruggs. Jefferson, Higgins got a touchdown today.
Yeah.
Claypool's still going to come out. So a lot of weapons.
Just beautiful.
Great for football.
Just beautiful.
Wide receivers because it just makes it more flashy.
Oh yeah. It's so much more. It's wide receivers. And the weird part
today is that, the rookies
too.
Were
Rieger also. Stole.
Yeah. The rookies were going off. And then you have the vets or the established players like DK Metcalf and Keenan Allen just throwing up duds. So it's a weird league, ladies and gentlemen. It can definitely be fickle.
It is. Well, to show how weird it is, David Montgomery is one of the top running backs this week. 72 rushing yards and two touchdowns and another 39 in the air. So, but it was
a solid performance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He got lucky with the not lucky, but if he didn't get the two touchdowns, it would have been a mediocre performance, but this is what people want from him. And this is what we know to expect because the Bears they can't pass. And that's great for Montgomery fans because we've been expecting him to be a top 10 running back. And it looks like he's going to finish that way.
And the Bears have themselves a good run. I'm going to put the article up this week, but they've got themselves a good lineup in the playoff weeks. Houston at Minnesota and then at Jacksonville. I mean, that's a good schedule.
And someone who doesn't, Dalvin Cook, he still lit it up today. 120 yards, 59 in the air with six receptions. No TD for him, but I mean, if he had him PPR, he still got 24 points.
Oh, it's a huge
so he's dude. He's golden the whole time.
And this is why you can't trust coaches, because during the week, you know, Mike Zimmer is saying, oh, he's banged up. He's banged up. I even said on the Friday podcast, I said, he's either playing possum or he's going to rest him. So I don't know. And,
He goes off.
Well, Aaron Jones got himself 130 on 15 carries. Most of that was on a 77-yarder to ice the game. So that was a beautiful run.
That was a heck of a run, too. He blew through so many people and was zigzagging at the end. It was just a crazy little play.
One guy, he actually juked him twice.
Yeah. I know it was number 23, but yeah. Oh, that's horrible.
That was a good one. James Robinson just, Mr. you know, continued. Consistent. God, amazing. Amazing. I mean, yeah, just another great game. 108 yards total. Jonathan Taylor coming back from COVID. The COVID list. I think
if it wasn't for that one long pass play, he would have been garbage. And I only say with this attitude because I'm going against him and only projected to win by 9 points. So I really need to win.
Well, Chris Carson got himself 110 total yards, and I got a touchdown receiving, the only touchdown for the Seahawks, which is shocking considering how great they were.
And it was a tough catch, so I think the Giants just have a really good pass defense.
They cover well. James Bradbury is considered ranked one of the top five cornerbacks according to Pro Football Focus. So I mean, he's no joke, but the rest of the people, nobody's, you know, highly ranked, but they're getting pressure on the quarterback and they're defending. I mean, just great. Yeah. Great playing all around. Ty Johnson out of nowhere, subbing in for Frank Gore when he went on the concussion protocol.
Man, that guy looks solid, man.
104 yards.
Yeah.
I was like,
who is this guy? This guy is awesome. Wow.
Yeah, for most leagues, which run waivers, he might be a guy to pick up in case Gore is out. Crazy.
Do you trust it, though? I mean, it's still the Jets. And, I mean, Darnold was out, and then he came back in. So I thought Flacco – I like Flacco only because then they throw the ball a lot. And that team's got a lot of weapons in the air as far as, like, Crowder, Mims, and Perriman. But I don't trust Ty Johnson. I say don't waste your waiver if you got it.
Probably not. And your boy Kamara.
I hate the one game blowups because then the next week they don't do it and you just look.
Next week it's like 3 points. It's like, what happened?
Hey, dude, they did that 90% of the games. Why did you expect it this time?
And how many people were like, you know, grabbing guys thinking that they were going to blow up like a Devontae Booker? And, you know, so many of the experts out there were saying, oh, grab Devontae Booker. He should be your number one. I kept saying, Cam Akers should be your number one priority because he could keep the job through the playoffs.
Exactly. And that's why I hate the leases. When you lease a player just because, you know, their upper is injured, those are waste of waivers for me.
Oh, waste. Just a couple of highlights on the rest of the guys. I mean, Adrian Peterson got 2 touchdowns. Nick Chubb got 80 yards and a touchdown, staying consistent. Solid. I talked about Akers. You know, he had 72 yards and a touchdown, but more importantly, he had 21 carries, and that was out of 28 total.
However, Henderson had that long run.
Yes.
So he just put his name back in the mix, and it kind of pissed Aker fans off. Akers has the ball. It's going to be his. And then you see Henderson do that long run. There's no way you're confident as an Akers fan that they're not going to run Henderson.
And I just put on Twitter that Akers had solidified the position, the lead cutout position. So yeah. You gotta love that. Gotta love that. But a couple of guys that look good coming. I mean, Miles Gaskin got 90 yards, 141 yards coming off of his injury. Wayne Gallman was 135 yards total, which he's gonna go. So well, let's go over to the wide receivers real quick. Who would have said, if I would have told you that Corey Davis was going to be the wide receiver one on Sunday
with
night,
11 receptions,
182 yards, guy, and a touchdown,
so over 30 points in PPR pretty much, or into the 30s. It's only because of AJ, but it's like, if AJ Brown is out, I think Corey Davis is a better pickup than Ty Johnson.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. He's a top target. He's going to be a top target there. So, yeah.
And if but when he has been the top target, he hasn't performed. So it's he's very inconsistent.
Something happened today that changed.
I think they're just expecting to cover AJ Brown when Corey Davis changed. I think injuries always change the way a team plays. Look at Ty Johnson being able to go in there and just ruin them. They didn't basically have time to study them. Kind of like when a boxer is expecting to box somebody and at the last second they can't box and they face the guy behind them, even though the guy behind them's weaker, they usually win. That's what happened to Kimbo Slice in the UFC. Faced a random guy, so he didn't practice. I think that's why you see Corey Davis explode. And it's just, and when I say that, it's just, it's something you can't predict compared to Booker you could predict. And that's why teams can easily stop them. So everybody, stop picking up those gadget players who only play 1 week. It's never going to work.
Muy cierto, muy cierto. Well, one that's always going to work is Davante Adams.
Got himself, works.
You know, and it was really cool. His first touchdown, I think it was the first touchdown, he handed the ball to Rodgers, and somebody came over and put the crown on Rodgers. Apparently it was, it was his 400th TD. And then they also pointed, the broadcast pointed out that Davante Adams during his rookie year, he caught the number 200 TD in Aaron Rodgers' career. So
maybe he'll catch number 600
and 800.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be cool. Well, another thing that's cool, Justin Jefferson. Beast.
I mean, technically, he put up Davante Adams numbers, just one touchdown less.
Yeah, exactly.
And Thielen still did good, too.
Yeah.
So it's definitely making you hope more for this team because at the beginning of the season, they were lax. Now they're fast. So it looks good for anyone who picked up JJ in the free agency.
Big time. Exactly. He's one of the free agency finds of the season. And you know, and I do remember, you know, one of our first, I think it was our third episode where we talked about the rookie receivers. I think all three of us were like, just, you know,
Jeffy was one of the fast ones that mm-hmm. we liked. And then all of a sudden he just caught fire.
Came out of nowhere. So yes, we do know what we're talking about.
And it was overshadowed because Claypool was having such a good run at the time.
Yes, exactly.
So that's why people were just able to swoop under him.
Oh man.
He's the OBJ this year for you, heck.
Ooh.
Oh.
Now he's just going to get in.
Get people championships.
Exactly.
And the next receiver, Marvin Jones, 8 for 12, 116 yards and a touchdown. Expect more of this because I think Detroit's going to be fast. Also, Galladay's coming back. So that might take some of the targets away from Jones.
They say he's coming back, man. Galladay's has been so injury-prone this year, man.
They say he's coming back.
I'm going to believe it when I see it.
He'll play for two quarters and then, because he's injured.
And in true fashion.
I'm not holding my breath.
In true fashion, I have Galladay and CMC on one of my teams. And Eckler. So I've been waiting to play all these guys, and I'm playing for my life this week.
Yeah.
But that's why I love holding on to these injured players, because as soon as they're back, look who I'm going to have.
And all of a sudden, yep. Yeah,
this is true.
Oh man. Well, T.Y. Hilton had himself another big game.
Another one. That's two in a row, man. What's up?
A little weird.
Somebody pointed out his lifetime numbers against the Texans was like 85 yards, 16 games, so it was like a full season. 85 receptions, like over 1500 yards and 10 touchdowns. So
he does play them again in like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, just know to fire him up.
That's a DFS. Put it in the brain for later.
Yep. Kiki QT on the other side, 141 yards and eight receptions. I mean, he just really paid off on all the people who were talking him up. So what a good one. Well, Jamison Crowder got a couple of touchdowns, which pissed me off because I played Denzel Mims as one of the cheap plays.
Me too.
I just thought I was chasing the targets and just didn't happen.
I was chasing the long ball, and Crowder's the reception guy, but to see him get those two touchdowns early also was just brutal.
Amazing. Well, we talked about Thielen already. You know, he first came back, got 75 yards and a touchdown. Michael Thomas, another 100 yards, 105 yards, 9 receptions. It's almost like an identical line to what he had 2 weeks ago against Atlanta. So, I think all the people who were a little worried about him, I think it's okay. And Calvin Ridley, He came back 108 yards on five receptions.
Haven't heard from him in a while, but yeah, it's good to see him putting up numbers again. It's
no,
been a
exactly.
while.
Exactly. Exactly.
It has.
Well, it hasn't been a while, but Darren Waller.
Boom.
Ridiculous.
Wow.
He's not going to do this again.
No.
This was a Jets game. This was against the Jets.
Yes. 200 yards for a tight end.
Oh, yeah. That, is that's a good record? I mean, I don't know if Gronk might be up there or Kelsey might be up there or Ertz, but that seems like it must be some kind of record. Or I'm curious to know what the record is for tight end yards in a game, because it's this guy. This
Who
was
the
be,
old Chiefs
tight end? Gonzalez?
Tony Gonzalez. I wonder if he's up there.
Yeah, he must be. But
yeah, I mean,
that's a lot of yards
other
for
than
a
him,
tight end, man.
Other than him, only Kelsey did you pretty good, besides Gesicki, but that's PPR. But yeah, it just goes to show you, tight ends are tough. Darren Waller's always been a top five, but even he's been inconsistent this year. So, but I mean, that dude was money today. He came out of nowhere because last week he got like what, 5 points?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nothing. And last week he was supposed to smash against the Falcons.
This points will throw him into the top three mix already. Just well, having this game,
he's far and away the tight end one. But yeah, if you guys
Waller.
Want to know, yeah, he's tight end one by far.
For this week.
For this week.
No, I mean like for the season.
Oh, well, he's number two. He's number two right now.
Was he number two before today?
Yeah, to Kelsey, right? Or
I think he was number two. To
Mark Andrews is like way down the list.
Kelsey was way out there. And I think that at one point I figured out the difference between them was a touchdown. It was the average of a touchdown a game. So I'm going to look it up, but
Kelsey still tore it up with 136 yards and a touchdown. So it's not like Darren Waller barely was able to catch up to Kelsey, even with that amazing game.
So in PPR, Kelsey, I mean, Waller is the number two, the tight end two, and he's exactly 6 points a game. This is going into today. So this does not count the 200 yards today, but he coming into today, he was exactly 6 points a game, fantasy points per game behind Kelsey.
That's a lot of points.
That's a touchdown a game. That's how much better Kelsey is than the competition.
And I got to thank you for your Gesicki love, because that's the only reason I kept picking him this week and last week. And this dude tore it up. 9-11, 88 yards and a TD. I feel like he's going to average a TD every week for the rest of the season.
He was on my bench today, but I do have him.
And it's because of the same thing. Because we both have Mark Andrews.
Right.
So that's why I ended up doing Gesicki. And now it's like, I don't think I'll ever put Andrews in again.
I don't know. I don't know why you would. Yeah, right. Gesicki. And you know, it's funny. I actually sat Gesicki on one of my leagues where I played Robert Tonyan instead. So
that's not bad. I mean,
Gesicki still was better, but Tonyan.
It's not one of those where you're going to kick your butt too hard.
No. Speaking of kicking butt, you know, Kelsey. Eight out of 14 targets, 136 yards and a touchdown. This is his fifth consecutive 1,000 yard season. And
in a row. Wow. I can't believe this guy does it like that.
And no one has even had four. The record for total 4,000 yard season, 1,000 yard seasons is four. And he did five consecutive.
I don't even want to compare him to tight ends anymore. I want to see how he compares to wide receivers, because that's the numbers he's pulling. How many wide receivers have five consecutive 1,000-yard seasons?
Yeah,
did Calvin Johnson do that? I'm thinking Calvin Johnson.
Probably. There's a few guys that have done it. Mike Evans has done it 6 years in a row. And Moss did it. But that was to start his career. But, I mean, not a lot of guys. I mean, Rice did it. Rice probably had like a dozen years in a row or something.
Right.
But,
yeah, something crazy.
But it's – I mean, it's not too
many.
And
it's not going to stop anytime soon. This team is young.
Yeah, they're – and I mean, he's an old guy on the team, but –
And he's still young because he was a rookie five, six years ago.
I think
he's got a lot of years on him.
I think he just turned 30, but he was. So I think this is his seventh year. So I mean, just stud. We'll finish out the guys. Dan Arnold, he's on this list because he showed that with a 59 yard TD catch, that'll put you in the top five, you know, top three I think he was top four tight ends. So, yeah.
He's like top two. He's like top, top. Dan Arnold's like top two for hair, too. That guy has the coolest hair, man. That's like, man, this guy has cool hair.
I still think Derrick Henry's got the coolest little stuff hanging behind him.
Right. But no, Dan Arnold's hair, man. That guy's hair is cool, man. It's like straight out of the 80s.
Now, another tight end who did good, I actually have hopes for the rest of the season, is TJ Hockenson. He hasn't been too hot. He's been average for the first half, but with 7 for 9 and 84 yards, this guy's going to be a top tight end play for the rest of the season, right behind Gesicki. So it'll be nice to see a little change of guard, because a lot of people have been drowning because they haven't had tight ends. Now I feel like the tight end play is going to start picking up.
And it's kind of weird. Last year was like that too, and that caused a lot of tight end hype going into the season. And then
Jonu Smith and all them.
Yeah, donde están? You know, La Llorona came and took them.
They're gone.
So, but you know, luckily a guy like Gesicki. Yeah, it was Jonu Smith and Tyler Higbee were two of the guys that had so much hype. But Gesicki was another one, and he's paying off right now. So good for him. And Hockenson. You know, it's always nice when a guy comes through in a great spot. I think the Bears are allowing 30th most points or like the third most points in fantasy points per game. So let's get an adios mio.
Come
on.
Chargers, sorry Rick. It's Chargers. George, so you put Chargers first. Like you're just rubbing it in now.
Well, it's 45. And I'll tell you what, it sucked to watch, especially because I was watching with a buddy who was talking crap the whole time.
Those are the worst.
But I mean, I just hate that Belichick can do that to rookies so easily. But I'm excited for the next time they see each other, maybe in a year or two. But it's not as bad as being a Jets fan and thinking you win the game.
Yeah.
And then seeing the Raiders of all teams be able to just throw behind your team.
That ball just fell out of the sky, like right into his hands. That was crazy.
I just felt like you knew it was going to happen. And that's why it's like, ay, Dios mío.
So I want to put you guys on the spot right now. So
do it.
You're a Jets fan.
Yeah.
So you're a Jets fan.
Jets fan.
What are you feeling when it's looking like you're going to win with a few seconds left and you're thinking, okay, we're going to be 0-12, but no, we're going to be 1-11. Is this going to cost us Trevor Lawrence?
No, I don't think that, because I think they got it locked. I think they're definitely the suckiest. But I think thinking that way makes you accept the loss more.
Right.
And you're like, whatever, tank for Trevor.
I think they're this is a throwaway season. You know what I mean?
You got us.
Yeah, like I don't think they even care. Like, okay, well, when you know, I think they're looking at like, all right, when's the season gonna be over so that we could actually start, you know, buying Trevor Lawrence jerseys and stuff. You know what I mean? Like
so why do you have the Jaguars on here?
Because they had a chance to win the game too, and then they lost in overtime.
It was an awesome game, though. I didn't feel bad. I felt like both teams were just playing hard, throwing up good numbers. I mean, you look at Minnesota's wide receivers tearing it up. So I thought it was just an excellent game. And I think the Jags are lucky to be in it. But that Robinson guy, man,
so good.
He's going to be hot so next good. Year.
He's so good. He's going to be top 10 pick.
He's going to be what Josh Jacobs was coming in this year.
Yeah, he was undrafted this year. Undrafted.
I think he might. I think he might have
three Jags ahead of him that were running back. Oh, so stupid.
Hey, imagine they get
Armstead, Obigawe, and some other person.
it happens, man. It happens. It happens to the best of us.
Clearly, I did black out during that part of the draft.
You must have been blacked out that part.
Oh, man. Well, let's get into the quarterbacks. And Carson Wentz was just – I mean, we talked about it. 79 yards. Oh.
Do you think it's going to last into next week?
Because
here's the thing. I would say, what do they have to lose? But they are still in the position to win their division.
But again, like I said, what if there's something going on that we just don't know about? Maybe he tweaked an ankle. Maybe he injured something somehow, somewhere. And the coach is like, you know what? Just rest, get better, and then we'll figure it out later. That could be going on. We don't know, obviously. But maybe there was something to that. Who knows? But I mean, at this point, it seems like
the fact that Hurts was able to bring him back, it's like, do you want to mess with that momentum and just go back to Wentz next week? I don't know.
That's gonna be a hard one. If I were to make the prediction right now, I would predict that Wentz is back there, just because it's the money. He's got so much money
invested. They're paying invested him so him. Much to play.
So, Justin Herbert, his first clunker, 209. Hey, you know what?
Is this the first time he's gone under 300 yards?
I think so.
Trying to look it up now.
He's been under 300, but only. I don't think he's been under 250. I think his first one under 250.
Yeah, he's had 290, 264, actually 187 against Miami. But that game looked a lot better than this one.
Oh yeah, that was a weird game.
It's the first time in his career he hasn't thrown for a touchdown.
Ooh, in his NFL career,
it's gonna be one of the
few. His lengthy NFL career,
and he threw his career high for interceptions. Yeah. So I will be having to talk with him later, guys.
Yeah, let us know how that goes, man.
Please, I've got him on one of my teams, and I need him to perform.
It'll be fine.
One of my teams that's going to the playoffs. Well, Russell Wilson, I mean, they're looking like a playoff team, but this is four games in a row under 300 yards.
Right, four in a row, and he was lighting it.
Yeah.
Let Russ cook.
Didn't he throw over 500 yards one game? Like something ridiculous, like week three or four or something like that. He threw for like 500 yards. Didn't he do that?
It was something. He did have some ridiculous games in there. Yeah. I'll look it up while you guys are talking.
Yeah, I think it was a 500 yarder.
Hey.
One of the, I remember we talked about it, like, wow, this guy's the MVP for sure.
No,
like,
he threw five touchdowns in one game.
Maybe that's what it was. Oh, no, yeah. I think it was Dak threw for 500 yards.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Russ.
We don't talk about that guy no more.
Yeah. Then Russ threw for five TDs. And
five TDs twice. He did it twice. Yeah.
He set a record for like most TDs in like three games or something to start a season, like 15 touchdowns or something ridiculous in like four games. Or he set a record. And everyone's like, oh man, Russ is cooking. This guy's MVP for sure. Lock.
Well,
now he's out of the conversation completely.
Well, we already had the MVP conversation ourselves.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Ourselves.
Yep.
And then
Kyler Murray. No Hail Mary.
He still had three touchdowns. That last touchdown did save a lot of people, but he had a fumble right at the end, an interception. He didn't look comfortable there.
It makes you wonder how hurt is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that. And I just think they came out fast, just like we thought they were, but teams are starting to get to know them. And they're still a new team. We're trying to act like they're supposed to be, 9-3 already, but they're still a new team. We got to remember that. Kyler, it's his second year. He's still putting up great numbers, but don't expect them to be more than what they are. They're going to be a 500 team. As it was, that's what they were pretty much projected. So they're still good. But I see here, if they didn't get that Hail Mary, they lose five straight. They look really bad. So they'll get back on track, but don't be.
Here's what I heard today. And then you guys let me know if you guys watched the game. I don't know if it was just, coincidental or just the sound bites that I was listening to or that I happened to catch when I was paying attention and not looking at my phone at, scores. There seemed to be a lot of talk about his height today. And I don't know if that was just, if there's something to that, but
Drew Brees is short too, man.
Balls getting knocked down and balls getting, linemen, getting a piece of the ball and deflecting and things like that. It's like, it just seemed like today they were talking a lot more about it than other weeks that I've heard. So I don't know, maybe something to just keep an ear open for or to keep an eye on.
You got something against short people?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it just seemed that the announcers seemed to be like almost saying that, this guy is struggling because he's short. They didn't come out and say it that way, but it almost seemed like they were inferring that, like intimating that's the reason that he was struggling, and that's the reason that they haven't done that, they haven't been doing so well this season. Not flat out saying it, but kind of skirting that and kind of leaning to that direction.
It was, but it's like Then how do you explain the first half of the season? He was tall.
I don't disagree. But dude, like we always say, if you have enough film on a guy and you can figure him out and actually start knowing what he does and his tendencies, then you can start collapsing and start.
Basically, you don't got to blitz him.
Shutting him down.
Just got to get hands in the
air. If you stay back and get a hand up, you can deflect everything. And maybe they're like, you know what? Maybe that, because then you start, if you get past the line of scrimmage and you go after him, he's gone past you.
All he's got to do is run to the side and he's got no one in front of him. That's how he got the Hail Mary.
Exactly. If you can stay back and keep your hands up high and now he's throwing into a wall, that's worse for him, I think, than if you're trying to, because you're not going to sack him. The guy's going to run away from you and laugh at you while he's doing it. So you're not going to catch him. So so that the strategy may not be, and maybe that's what they're doing.
It may no longer be attacking.
Yeah. Let's not try to sack him because we can't. Let's just keep him in front of us, keep our hands up, and we're going to knock down all his passes. And it seems that these last few games where he's been struggling, maybe that's what they're doing because that's what they were talking about today.
He did get hit a few times today.
Yeah.
The other thing about it is he's not running as much. He only ran the ball 5 times for 15 yards. I think that's a sign that he's hurt. He doesn't want to.
DeAndre Hopkins looked pissed.
He doesn't want to get tackled. He doesn't want to get tackled and land on the shoulder, that kind of thing, take hits to the shoulder.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins was tangling with Jalen Ramsey a lot this afternoon, and he was not winning those tangles. So,
I mean, he was frustrated. Just you could tell. Just by the way he was acting on the sideline. And Kyler threw the ball like to the floor sometimes. So I don't know what's going on. I hope he's okay. But thank God I got Stafford behind him.
Right.
Would you dare start Stafford over Kyler?
Next week, yeah, because I think against Green Bay, they might have a shootout, especially if Galladay's back. Meanwhile, Kyler's got to play the Giants.
And all of a sudden, they're a defense you're scared of. Yes.
Yeah, so it's like it changes the game. Changes.
That's real. That is real.
All right, well, let's try and, let's look at this. Miles Sanders, only 31 yards in a great matchup against the Packers, who are one of the worst run defenses. So, tough one. Todd Gurley, only 16 yards in his first game back from injury. And Latavius Murray, 17 yards after having 124 last week.
I'm so happy I pulled him out last
week. Dang it. I was so mad that you pulled him out. I was like, no, what is this? I was like, damn it, man. No way.
I got a nice little 12, 13 points from Gaskin. So, mm-hmm. It was nice.
And how many people chased the 2 touchdowns that James White had last week and got rewarded with 3 catches for 1 yard?
That's what they get because you should never chase a running back for the Patriots.
Just don't.
You can never tell who's going to do it.
Just 3 catches, don't. 1 yard. Yeah, that's a confusing stat. 3 catches, 1 yard. I'm like, how? Wait, 3, 4, 1? Like, wait a minute. 1 yard. Wow.
Well, that was like when Kamara, I forgot how many weeks ago, had like 1 or 2 catches for -1 yard for a while.
Yes.
Like, come on.
Right. Exactly.
Well, on the wide receivers, you know, I put on there that the Adios Mio was Tyreek Hill having 2 long TDs get nullified.
Oh! So, yeah, that's the worst. That reminds me, I don't know if anyone's had a game like this. I had Percy Harvin a couple of years back, and he had 2 touchdowns. This is a game like heading into the playoffs that I absolutely needed. This is a Seahawks game. He had a touchdown, and I was like jumping for joy, and here comes the flag. Oh, it's holding. So then a couple of plays later, he got another touchdown, and I'm jumping for joy again. Another flag. Oh, like illegal use of the hands or something. Like some ridiculous call. And I was and zero. I got zero. I was like, dude, he had 2 touchdowns, and I ended up with no points.
It
was
what happened to him?
He had migraines and stuff. I think he had to retire. He had really bad migraines, I think.
Ugh. Yes. Well, I will say that Tyreek Hill doing a backflip into the end zone on the last one, that was just
beautiful.
10. Dale un diez.
Classic.
The rest of the receivers, Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard did not pop against that Seattle defense. All of a sudden, that Seattle defense.
Seattle defense that was 32 against the wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is 2 weeks in a row. They've been pretty good. So, you know, maybe
don't remind me of Keenan Allen's performance today.
Oof. All right, well,
even Keenan was pissed off. But, dude, that's Belichick. Belichick just knew how to I just hate Belichick. I'm done talking about him. But Keenan Allen only getting 48 yards. He still got targeted 11 times.
Right.
So you're still happy. It's not like you see a downfall. This is just one game. So if you're a Keenan Allen holder, you're happy.
Yeah, you're
if you made playoffs. If you made playoffs.
If you made playoffs.
Yeah, because there's
which I may not. So I may not. So thanks for that, Rick.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks, the last Rick. One on the tight ends, Hayden Hurst got 9 yards on one reception, and this was after getting a donna against the against New Orleans a couple weeks ago. So all of a sudden, the Saints are shutting down tight ends. So
yeah, Saints defense, man, they've been coming on strong the last few weeks. So good.
Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Make sure you're following, you're subscribing at Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a review if you can, wherever you can. Remember, follow us on Twitter at Familia FFB. I'm at Jorge Martin 17. Hector.
What the heck? With two T's.
Two T's. And also our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. Remember, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.